Here's the 2-2 and a fastball right down the middle for strike three call. 99 mile an hour fastball. Osuna picks up the save, and the Astros beat the Nationals 4-1, and they're on the board singing. They got themselves a win. First pitch to Turner, swinging a ground ball to short. This should do it. Correa on to Altuve in time to force Dozier, and that's your ball game. Houston wins 8-1. And they have knotted up the World Series. Singy, we officially have ourselves a 2 out of 3 going forward. 1-2, and a swing and a ground ball to third. This should do it. Bregman up with it, on to first, and the Astros win again. They come to Washington down 2-0, and they just smother the Nationals 3 nights in a row. And Singy, they're going home 1 win away from a World Series championship.
Sports, sports,
sports, sports. So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and that was probably the best possible result for your Astros. And your Texans win, and a lot more to get to. Let's do it. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas.
Houston, Texas.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Bauer and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Bauer, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Tyler Scott, so good he doesn't have a nickname. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also get us on, well, you can't get us on the Blitz Facebook page because Aaron's not here today. He's celebrating his birthday. And you can also go to Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Tyler Drew Scott. You can text the show. You know the number for that, 713-780-3776. And you can watch us on the Twitch channel and comment there in the chat.
Comment away, friends.
And I'm sure you'll have all kinds of comments after this weekend. It's happening, Hoffman.
Sports and stuff, man. What a weekend it was, right?
Indeed.
Man,
indeed.
When we last left you on Friday, we said the Astros are in trouble, and they've got to, I mean, obviously they had to win one on the road. Otherwise we wouldn't be talking anymore, at least not talking about a continuing series.
No, we'd be talking about where Garrett Cole winds up. And,
right. You know. But we said they had to win 2 games to have a shot. They needed to win 2 out of 3 on the road. Now they're back to being massive favorites in this series. And, I mean, you can make all the excuses you want for the Nationals. And, listen, I feel bad for Max Scherzer. Knowing what I know about that dude, he had to be damn near in a wheelchair to not pitch in the World Series.
And you know, everybody keeps saying, well, I think he'll come back for Game 7. If he was bad enough that he couldn't pitch, I would not be betting on that.
Even dumber, I heard people saying, I think they're trying to, they want to save him for Game 7. I'm like, no one has their best pitcher on normal rest and says, no, we're going to throw Joe Ross. Watch this.
You might not have a Game 7.
Yeah, there might not be one. You wanted to use your best pitchers when they were on their normal rest, and it was Scherzer's normal day. I think he had to just be really in bad shape, and it's happened to him before, and it took him longer than a couple days to recover from something like that. So they may be without him, which sucks for them. Great news for the Astros.
Yeah. Although I kind of wish he had pitched last night, because the way Cole was going, I don't think it would have mattered.
It kind of was wasted. Yeah. Cole got his groove back. Yordan found a swing, and it was just really everybody contributed over the weekend. And if you had to pick a World Series MVP right now for the Astros, I don't even know who you'd pick. That's how crazy it is, because everybody's contributing in their own ways. And so it's really been a nice team effort, a team that could have easily rolled over down 2-0, and clearly their bats didn't work. And instead, they just keep pouring it on, and I love seeing it, man. I love seeing this team play with confidence, and now there's a chance for them to clinch at home, which it makes it even cooler in my mind.
And as much as it's kind of about the bats waking up, they gave up one run in each one of those games. The pitching was terrific.
That's true.
Whether it was Urquidy, and Greinke, whether it was Cole last night, I mean, they did a fantastic job on the mound and against a good offense, a really good offense. And it's funny because a lot of the things that the Astros were struggling with at home, the Nationals struggled with as well when they got home.
Yeah.
So I didn't expect them to win three out of the to win three straight, but you know, I feel pretty good about their chances now. But again, you're going to face Strasburg again tomorrow, who's pitched fantastic.
Yeah, I think this is going seven because I still feel like Justin Verlander. There's something going on with him with this World Series, and I still feel like Steven Strasburg is arguably the best pitcher going in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think but you're going to have a hard time getting more than the two runs you got against him the first time.
But unless full strength Max Scherzer walks out to that mound for game seven, the Astros will have a huge advantage with Zach Greinke out there. And I think the Astros. Greinke and
Urquidy could probably pitch you a few innings.
I would guess so.
He might even bring Cole back for an inning. He'd be in good shape for game seven.
I think Astros win this thing in seven games. So it's a. I'm hoping for a celebration on our last day here in town.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah,
I hope they get it done. And again, it's what you're saying Friday though. Even down 0-2, it feels like it was worse than it was. But this team has been so resilient. We saw it again. Yeah, you know, they go out there and it felt like they were in control of every game almost from the beginning. It really did. And you know, once it got to be 4-1, it just felt like there was no way the Nationals were going to come back in any of those games. And of course, they just piled on in the one last night and the one Saturday. And as much as they're not just out there destroying the ball, it seems like everybody's had a big moment. Bregman with the grand slam.
Yeah.
Yuli last night. Gurriel, Altuve. Everybody has had one moment where you can just look back and say, wow, that was the thing. And I do expect at some point they're going to have, and maybe it happens tomorrow night, they're going to have a game where they put together a couple of innings against a really good pitcher. And if they do that, they're still going to need Verlander to be better than he's been. And, you know, I'm sure he's hearing a lot about 0-5 in the World Series, too.
So. But the fact is, he can still be good, and you know, right. Strasburg could just be better.
That's what happened in game one.
Yeah, Verlander wasn't bad. Verlander was better than Cole.
He had a bad first inning. He had a bad first inning, which has been a problem. But
everybody's had a bad first inning in this thing.
Yeah, but I'm not going to say that they can't win with him, but you're going to need his best effort, and you know his best versus Strasburg's best may not be good enough, and that's you know that's what we'll find out tomorrow.
Well, if you see peak Justin Verlander, that's as good as anybody in the world.
Yeah,
but listen,
we haven't
seen that in the playoff. Well, not in the World Series before, and I think that's starting to become a thing. I feel like he's got a lot of pressure on him, but he could also just shut it down and be the guy that he's been for the last several years and say, stop worrying about this. We got it.
Yeah.
Because all the momentum, all of it is rolling for the Nationals right now. For the Astros. The other thing is, boy, you talk about, I don't think I've heard this in a long time, but suddenly the umps became an issue in the game last night.
Definitely.
And I'm telling you, these robot umpires, they're coming. And Martinez is losing his mind. It's the World Series. And I don't think that it would have made a difference. It was a 7-1 ball game. But it was, I mean, obviously a crucial moment. At the time, it was a 4-1 ball game. And Ryan Zimmerman had walked, and Cole Maldonado both thought it was a strike. It wasn't a strike.
Yeah.
So Zimmerman's on first base, and then it goes full again with Victor Robles, and Robles' payoff pitch was not even – Zimmerman's was closer than Robles'.
Yeah.
And they ring him up. And I mean, it's a tough break.
It was inconsistent.
It was higher. It was further outside. And you know, here's what I'll say: Gerrit Cole he won that game. So, but you can't worry about what one ball or one strike is called over the course of nine innings. But I'm telling you, these robots are coming. And I know we're all scared of robots, but
that's why they're making another Terminator movie.
It might be time.
Well, in all honesty, I think early in the game, there were a lot of pitches that Cole usually gets called for strikes, especially outside where he was painting the outside and he wasn't getting the calls. That's what made that one surprising to me, because he threw a lot better pitches earlier in the game that were balls than that pitch being called a strike.
Well, and then the 2-2 pitch to Michael Brantley that was definitely a strike, and Gomes hops up to throw it around the infield and there's no call on it. And that one didn't end up mattering.
But that one wound up being meaningless.
They've really got to get it together. And I don't think it was overall, I don't think it was start to finish a poorly called game behind the plate, but just in some key moments.
Yeah, there were two.
These guys make themselves known.
And it kind of the way he told Gomes, too, that it was his fault. I mean, that's kind of a bleepy thing to do.
Yeah.
But, that one wound up not mattering. But the other one, that should have been a ball.
Well, it's going to be that robot, and I'm looking forward to it.
Your team robot?
I'm team robot for this.
I've always been team robot, team alien. Now you're coming along.
No, listen, I don't want them doing things that really matter. I don't want them. I just want to.
Oh, really?
I want there to be like not even a real robot, like with it. I just want there to be some sort of digitized thing that lets you know, hey, ball or strike, let me know. There'll be the stupid ump back there with a headset on going, oh, robot says strike, robot says ball.
And you get
but maybe argue. That's the way it should be.
But I wouldn't want to be the manager to go argue with the robot.
Oh, yeah.
You have been targeted for termination. Somebody says those two chicks behind home plate are the MVPs.
Maybe.
Yeah. That was...
Or maybe Will Harris.
Will Harris. Tiger says that. Will Harris definitely...
He's in the conversation.
And I think it depends on what happens if they close it out tomorrow night, and he's a big part of it. I still think Altuve is going to be in that conversation.
Michael Brantley should be in that conversation. George Springer.
Yeah, it's I think it's to be determined.
Yeah,
because frankly, while Bregman's been inconsistent, if he goes out and drives in another five tomorrow, he could easily win.
If Chirinos hits another big home run,
Chirinos too.
Yeah.
All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, let me tell you about my computer career, guys. If you are unhappy in the job that you've got, why are you still doing it? Let's talk about Anna, who back in May was working at Walmart, and she heard an ad that changed her life. And with no IT experience whatsoever, she took a chance and enrolled at My Computer Career. 4 months later, she started her IT career, and guess what? She got hired by a fellow My Computer Career graduate. Guys, don't be afraid of the future. Be a part of it. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take their free career evaluation today, and you can start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. No computer experience or training. They don't care. Helping people start an IT career, that is what they do. You'll attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week, and you're going to get everything you need to start your new career. And after you graduate, they help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid's available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill for my fellow vets. Guys, classes are starting up soon. Go take that free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. MyComputerCareer.edu.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy Monday. Hope everybody's having a great one. Steven says, how stupid does the Clowney situation look now that, shocker, J.J. is out for the year? Yeah, that's dust in the wind for J.J. Fuller.
Yeah.
That was... There was a lot of injuries yesterday. We'll get to that in a minute.
But the good news is I mean, you got Jacob Martin and Barkevious Mingo.
Oh,
they're not going to help.
Yeah, no, that they actually. He actually, I believe today, mentioned Mingo in his press conference. Which it's funny. You can always sort of judge O'Brien's mood by how the team did the day before. He was actually funny today a couple times.
I heard that. He's trying to be a funny guy.
I was watching it online, and he joked about Marone not helping him with anything in London. He joked with Aaron Wilson a little bit. And I was like, you know what? You're not a total dickweed when you act like that.
Yeah, but...
But it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
The texter should have said the Flasher girls were the MVBs.
I see what you did
for
there.
Baseball fan. Can I say something about this? Is going to probably sound horrible. I don't really care, but they had to have been imported, right? Because have you seen the crowds at those DC games?
Those girls are from LA.
Okay, that explains.
They were on the air with Barry and Joel.
Yeah,
or one of them was, and yeah, they're from LA.
Well,
they went out there with a purpose.
Frankly, I think they need to import more breeding stock from L.A.
No.
into that pool there. Because
it doesn't. All the women in D.C. look like Nancy Pelosi.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, and it ain't great.
And all the men look like Joe Biden.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, my goodness. Please stop showing the fans.
Boy, I don't think they put a whole lot of it on television, but if you just search around Twitter, you'll see a lot of the raw audio from the game last night. The president was not well received at the game.
I'm looking at a video right now. They unfurled an impeached Trump banner.
Oh, a gigantic one in the outfield. And then they had veterans for impeachment right behind home plate for about an inning. There was lock him up chants when they were showing him on television. It's the home crowd was not polite to the president.
I'm not really a fan of that. I don't care if you don't like the guy, but, you know,
you know, people are going to use these opportunities to get their agenda across. Though,
it doesn't matter who the president is. It's going to be stuff
exactly.
like this. Lohan wants to know, how will robot umpires work? Lasers, someone looking at a TV scene and calling it. I don't see how that'll work. I'm not opposed, but I don't get it. They did it at the Skeeters games. And if I'm not mistaken,
they have an ump with a headset.
Yeah.
And basically, the ump waits for the machine to decide if it was a ball or a strike, and it lets him know, and then the ump calls it.
Yeah. So, I mean, you'll still have umpires.
They'll be standing out there. They'll be completely useless.
They'll be like replay officials.
Yeah. Or, well, I guess they'll still have first crack at safe and out.
Yeah.
But if they blow that, guess what? Replay robots are coming in to check them.
I think you go full Skynet.
Maybe so.
And you put because I think you put one of those hunter killers back there and they call the strikes and balls and that'll shut up umpires. I guarantee you there won't be anybody screaming, "Hey, it's the World Series at the hunter killer."
That's true.
Because then he'll have the red dot on him and we know what happens then.
Yep.
Who's your bench coach? Next up. Next man up. Somebody says Yuli for MVP. His D has been incredible at first.
I mean, not just his D, but he's come up with some big hits too.
Boy, defensively, he's been fantastic, too.
That's fine. You know, I tell my son this all the time because he's a first baseman. I knew this from when I played baseball. It is a thankless job playing defense at first base. And it's if you make a play you were supposed to.
Right.
Even if you make a crazy play, you're basically the shortstop or the third baseman who had to throw it, you know, from the jump or whatever, it's like, oh, yeah, what a great play. And, you know, it's always on the other guy.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's rarely noticed when a first baseman is making a lot of plays. And the fact that people are mentioning Yuli's defense is pretty cool.
Yeah. And, you know, he plays defense over there like a third baseman. He really does.
Because he is a third baseman.
Yeah. And that is a compliment. And I mean, the play he made last night, the dive to the bag, was just, I mean, he's been doing that all series. And, yeah, if your vote went to him, I would not make fun of you for it.
Nope.
But I think you can make a case for a lot of guys. So, and again, I think a lot depends on what happens here in the next game or two as it plays out. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-ESPN. 780-3776.
Boy, the more I look at statistically, it might be Chirinos. That's pretty wild. But
you can make a case.
Chirinos is he's leading the team in slugging percentage. He is second in OPS, only to Yordan, who's, you know, but he's also Yordan and Chirinos only have 11 at bats. That may be what holds them back. But two home runs, again, there's a lot of guys I think you'll be able to make a case for.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to make one for Yuli, for Yordan, considering that you didn't need him for two wins. Hard to be MVP. So, Mom wants to know, the Astros the only team you can remember where a players meeting netted positive results during a meaningful time. Yeah, usually a players meeting,
that ain't good.
It never works out, right? So,
and Springer, too. Springer's average is getting up there. He's up to 316 now. On base is 480, which the only guy better than that is Yordan. Oh, and Kyle Tucker.
He doesn't have enough.
So, yeah, it comes down to these next couple games.
Steven, the weather guy. No, it's not Wednesday, but what are the odds the guy who took Yordan's HR to the chest gets a call from Budweiser for a promo opportunity?
Oh, I'm sure they're already looking for him.
Yeah.
I think they're already trying to contact him on Twitter.
So, yeah, and then, you know, we mentioned Will Harris.
Is he probably the only pitcher you would consider at this point?
Well, I mean, you know who's pitched the same amount as him and had about the same success is Joe Smith.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Smith's gone out there and he's been in some high leverage situations and he's done well.
I kind of feel like they've put Harris in the more critical situations, though.
Maybe so.
And although Smith's been pretty good, too. Yeah, that's
their stats are basically identical. Two hits each, four strikeouts, no runs. Here's the other guy who is a legit dark horse. If there is a game seven, it would be Zach Greinke.
Yeah,
because Zach Greinke only gave up one run in his first start, although he didn't get the win because they pulled him a little.
They pulled him a little early. Yeah,
in my mind, but that's all right. Yeah. But if he were to go out and have another great performance, you know, then you're probably looking at him.
Yeah, I don't think the wins matter.
No, I don't either. Much. I think it's who it's amount, how many innings you pitch, you know. And remember, in the World Series, basically every inning's a high leverage inning.
I mean, James got one for a third of an inning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it doesn't really matter. So he says, you guys make the drive from Lake Charles to Baytown every day bearable. Will the Steelers cover?
Hey, man, you passing through Baytown? Hey, say hey to my old English teacher. Sincerely, the Baytown Badass.
Yeah, I honestly would not ask me about any sports betting right now except for hockey. I just had my worst football weekend ever.
Worst ever? Eesh.
And the only thing that saved it for me was I had a CFL play that came through, and I had my big hockey play from Friday that I gave the people. That's it. Everything else was... I had a big bet on Tampa, and that fumble thing was just, you want to talk about a bleep you.
I had Tampa in a tease with the Eagles.
Yeah, so you were fine.
And I had the Texans in a tease. Also so fine. That bailed me out. But I had the Texans also -6, and that there was no bailout on that. But my biggest bet of the weekend was the Giants, Lions over. And that was easy cash. And then Utah was my biggest college bet. Utah -20 or 19.5. The one Brad was arguing with me about.
Yeah.
And they won 35-0. Cal couldn't move the ball as expected.
And that was when we talked about that was big spread, low total.
Yeah.
And you still, that was one of the few times where you covered that big of a spread and still go under because they did it on their own.
And if you, the box score for that game is so hilarious. Because that quarterback for Cal, he looks like he's about 14, and he played like he was about 14. The total yards in that game, 467 for Utah, 38 for Cal. That's a four-quarter football game. 38 total yards.
That's just so pathetic.
Yeesh.
All right. Quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
trying to fill up us hollow. You go.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy Monday. D. Trent says, did you see the weather for London? It's going to suck. We're going to be wet. Umbrellas and raincoats. I just assumed that was every day in London, that it's wet and it rains.
That's what she said.
I just assumed it was like Seattle. It's just going to always rain. But no, I haven't really paid attention to the weather yet. So I won't do it probably until I pack on Wednesday and I'll look and see what I need to bring. So
my wife's already heading there tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
And yes, she's over prepared. She's, you know.
Yeah, mine's.
She's going to a whole different country to start. So she's going to Scotland tomorrow. And then she's going to meet me in London. But, yeah, she's prepared for the worst.
Mine's staying a few extra days.
On the back end?
Yeah, because nice. She wanted me to hang around. But we've got the automotive launch.
That
we have to get back for. But, she's got work she can do, so it works out. 713-780-ESPN. We haven't talked about the Texans yet.
Oh, there was a football sports match, huh?
There was a football sports match.
Did the Texans win by 7 points?
They did not.
But I hate them.
Yeah, I from a betting perspective, I could see why you hate them. On the other hand, yeah, you know, and I mean, it's one thing some of the injuries, cluster injuries they had going in, but when you're down to Chris Clark and some guy that they just signed playing right tackle,
yeah,
I mean that was brutal. And you know, they managed to hold it together, and they almost got Watson killed again. They certainly almost got his eye poked out. That play was amazing, by the way. And defensively, you know, Johnson goes down. Of course, JJ, yeah, that I don't think anybody should be surprised that JJ Watt's out for the season again.
This is his third time in 4 years.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I think the surprise was that he made it through a full season last year. And I love the guy, but he's injury prone. There's no question. I mean, he's the defensive Will Fuller is what he is. And you know, that it's disappointing, but yeah, if they can get the secondary in order, I think they'll be okay.
But I don't know that they can get the secondary in order.
Yeah.
I mean, things were obviously bad, and then Lonnie Johnson goes out with a concussion. I haven't even heard an update on him.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect to see him Sunday.
Yeah, when you have a concussion, it's almost a guaranteed week off.
And it what also sucks is you'd like to be able to give guys like Roby and Joseph's useless, whether he's hurt or not, but you'd like to give those guys this game off. Because you have the off week after that, so you have plenty of time to get him healthy. You don't want to have to force him out there, but with Johnson out now, my goodness, I mean, you're down to guys that, frankly, should be driving trucks for a living.
Yeah.
But I do think, you know, the Raiders aren't an awful team, and I thought they had a pretty good game plan yesterday. The Texans in the second half scored on every single possession except for the one where they were taking a knee at the end. So some good adjustments on offense there. And, yeah, I think it was a good win considering that I was looking at that secondary going, how are they going to stop anybody?
Well, luckily the Raiders' secondary is not a whole lot better.
Yeah, and that's they were able to take advantage of that. But the tight ends, again, were a big factor, although Jordan Akins did not have a positive game.
No, but Darren Fells, man, thank God. They kept Darren Fells, and really, I thought they were keeping him at the beginning of the season basically to be a blocker. And I said, oh, there's no way they'll cut Darren Fells because this offensive line is so shaky that they'll keep him around and just use him as basically a sixth offensive lineman.
Yeah.
And turns out,
guy can catch the ball.
The guy can catch the ball, and he did catch the ball in a couple key moments. So, that was a good call keeping him around. And it clearly paid off in the big moments yesterday.
Yeah, I thought he played really well. And let's not forget that catch right before the 2 minute warning that he made,
yeah,
because that basically ended the game right there, and that was huge. But Lamont says the play Watson got his eye poked. Isn't that the same play last week? The refs whistled dead. The big difference was last week, and again, I think they probably shouldn't have whistled it dead. He had a guy bearing down on him while one guy had his legs already.
Yeah.
And he was about to get plastered, and he did get plastered. But, you know, this time it was just one guy. He got away from him, and just a great play. And overall, I thought he played really well. He almost had a pick six early in the game. I don't know what that pass was about. You could see that one from a mile away.
Yeah.
It was like, what are you doing? And so they were lucky there. But other than that, I mean, I think he made a lot of good decisions. DeAndre Hopkins just quietly had himself a game. I mean, they hit him. I mean, he's not really breaking big plays like he has in the past, but you don't really need him to. I mean, he's just a guy you throw to on third down every time, and he finds a way to get open.
Well, I honestly think the most valuable thing, you know, from Watson yesterday was him running the football, and it seemed like every time it was third and short, you knew Deshaun was just going to take it himself and get a new set of downs and grind the clock. So it was that was, I thought, pretty key yesterday, keeping the ball in their hands.
Yeah, and you know, he's doing it in better spots now too, and
he's not taking big hits. I mean,
and I like that they're rolling him out a little more, which, because he throws pretty well on the run, that gives him a little more time, and kind of mitigates the fact that you had Chris Clark playing left tackle once Tunsil went out,
and because he was able to do that. They had 12 minutes more of possession than the Raiders did.
Yeah.
That's huge.
They still had a couple of things that, especially in the first half, that they've just got to stop. I mean, too many pre-snap penalties.
And then, Laremy Tunsil, say what you want about, I mean, he's a good blocker, sure. At some point, you got to figure it out.
Yeah,
he leads the league in false start penalties.
You can't have that, especially at home. I mean, I get occasionally you're in a tough environment, great, but I mean that's just, you know, that should be an easy fix. But I mean, and he's been really good, but that's not, you know, you can't have that. And then the hold on Akins that cost them on a third down where they make a nice play to get a first down, and suddenly it's now third and 12.
Yeah,
because you hold.
And I'll be honest, holding. The more I think about it, I guess maybe the older I get, and you start to realize how punitive holding is. Maybe it's too punitive. Like 10 yards is just a massive penalty for a hold.
Yeah, I wish it was. I mean, there's some holds that are pretty obvious. Like you tackle the guy. Some of the lesser ones, I don't know, man. Because only 5 yards for defensive holding. I wonder if at some point maybe you should go to that. But
because I mean, that just basically it almost wipes out any chance you've got of continuing a drive, a 10-yard penalty.
Apparently last night, John Oliver's, and now this segment, touched on the Houston We Have a Problem thing.
Oh, boy.
And how it needs to go away.
Well,
maybe
good for them.
Maybe he read my column a week ago, 2 weeks ago now. He says, thoughts on Hopkins potentially getting traded.
No, that's not happening.
0%
chance.
Don't
believe that nonsense.
Where does that come from?
I don't know. So Twitter.
Well, okay, stop.
I mean, people read one thing and then they start passing it around.
0.0% chance.
Trust me, it's not happening.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't be spreading that nonsense.
I mean, he's probably their best player.
Yeah.
It wouldn't make any sense.
No, I mean, there's no chance in hell. I can't even imagine why someone would bring that up.
I don't know why I said he's probably their best player. He's their best player.
He's their best player. You make a case for the quarterback, but I still think he's, over his career, he's been better.
What you can say about DeAndre is he's one of the top two or three guys in the league at his position, and you almost can't argue against that.
Yeah,
you can't argue he's outside the top five.
I don't think you can argue he's outside the top three.
I don't either, but I'm just giving it some wiggle room.
Yeah, okay.
Whereas Deshaun, Deshaun's good. He's got an up arrow. I mean,
he's not there yet.
He's not there yet. But DeAndre's been there. He's been there for a while. The Texans are not trading him. That would just be
nonsense. That doesn't deserve two more seconds of commentary.
The only way they trade him is if he starts speaking out against the owner, talking about prisons and inmates running the prison, something like that. That could get him traded. That'll get a good player traded, right, Dwayne? But other than that, they'll keep him. All right. I got to tell you about CBDMD.com. I've been an advocate of CBD for some time. And CBDMD.com has taken my love for this stuff to the next level. First of all, it's made it a lot more affordable because CBDMD.com, they've got great prices. In fact, they compare their prices on their website with a lot of the other top brands of CBD. And you're talking about third-party, lab-tested, clean, safe, high-quality CBD oils right here. And it's great, man. It's been great for me. I love the CBD Freeze, which is a roll-on menthol blend, and it gives nice cooling sensation. The CBD Recover, basically, it puts relief on your aches, your bones, your muscles while you're recovering after a workout. I've been using it. I love both of them, and I still love just the oil that I take in my mouth, and it is high-quality stuff. I've been loving it ever since I got it day one. And to make it easier to see what these guys can do, they're offering our listeners 20% off their order. CBDMD.com. Use the promo code ESPN975 at checkout, and you'll save 20%. That's CBDMD.com, promo code ESPN975 at checkout.
This is The Blitz on ESPN975. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Somebody on the Twitch says J.J. needs some CBD and Arkansas milk.
That'll save him.
It's a little late now. Okay, Pro Football Talk actually was dumb enough to post a story on this.
Oh, on the Hopkins
thing? Yeah, it says, report, DeAndre Hopkins not on trade block, but teams are calling Texans.
Yeah, I read that earlier today.
How is that a report, first off? I'm sure teams
it can be a report if people are calling and inquiring about DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, but so what? What if I call and say, hey, Chiefs, you want to trade me Patrick Mahomes? What's the answer going to be?
I mean,
get the bleep out of here. Yeah. That's not a story if teams are calling. It's a story if they're actually listening. I can't imagine under any circumstance they would.
I mean,
you know what I'd say?
What would it take?
I don't know. I don't have a price that I would. I mean,
it'd have to be multiple firsts and probably some like a player that you could plug in and play today.
Yeah, yeah. It would be multiple firsts and
either an offensive lineman or a quarterback.
You need a Pro Bowl level player back.
Yeah,
I just don't see any way you'd even think about it, but. You know, today's NFL, everybody trades everything.
The reason why you can't consider it if you're the Texans is because you're still trying to grow Deshaun Watson into a quarterback.
And last I checked, you're 5-3.
Yeah.
And this guy's under team control for a couple more years and what's turned out to be a really good deal for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's almost...
I think about a 1% chance.
I'm going to say 0%. What I would do if I were the Texans and somebody called and says, hey... No, obviously we're not doing that, but we got somebody else you might like. I mean, Will Fuller character.
We've seen crazy trades in the past, so I won't say 0%, but it would blow my mind if the Texans did do that.
Yeah, it makes zero sense.
It makes zero sense. I think, can we have a difficult conversation real quick? Next month or next year, J.J. Watt will be 31 years old. And he has 2 years left on his contract. They would be the two highest paid years of his career. And there would be zero dead cap if you didn't have him on the team next year. I'll ask two separate questions. Do you think the Texans should cut J.J. Watt before next season? Do you think the Texans will cut J.J. Watt before next season?
No and no. But okay. What I think they should do is redo his deal.
Okay.
And basically free up a little cap room so that you're going to have to sign, obviously, Deshaun at some point. You're going to have to sign Laremy Tunsil. And we've talked about their cap issues before.
He's set to make $33 million over the next 2 years.
Yeah. I would spread that out a little bit, cut the cap number down some, give him a little more guaranteed money, but lower average value per year is what I would do.
Okay.
But, you know, and if he doesn't want to do that, then, yeah, I'd think about it because, you know.
When's the last year you got $15 million worth of value out of him?
Probably last year.
You think so?
He was pretty good last year, yeah. And he played a whole season. But that's the thing. He's got to play a whole season to be worth that. It's not that much money for a – I mean, and honestly, they're going to be able to do some things with the cap. You're going to have a lot of dead money off of there next year, including Colvin and Clowney, money that they just took on. And some of these guys that are coming off the books, Lamar Miller, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be some room there to where you're not going to be in a cap crunch, I don't think. And you should be able to go say goodbye to Jonathan Joseph, and you can go sign another cornerback. You know, I'd like to see him try to bring Bradley Roby back. I don't know if you're going to get him at $9.9 million again.
No.
But there's some things they can do. I don't think it's a necessity to get rid of to cut J.J. Watt.
Okay.
I think you're okay there.
He's played 32 games over the last 4 years. So he's played about half of the games.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a fair thing to bring up. I don't think you need to do it, and I don't think they will.
I don't think they will. I think they should really consider it. And I know it's tough to do because the guy, I mean, he's so beloved, but I just don't know if you're ever going to get your money's worth out of the guy anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, the money's not really.
Well, but I mean, in a salary cap league, and you mentioned they've got to pay Deshaun.
But yeah, I also just explained to you how they can do all that without having to worry.
So
about
now
what
you're extending,
JJ.
You're adding more years to a guy who can't stay healthy.
I'm adding more years at a lower value to create more room. Yes,
I don't get the idea of adding more years.
You just spread him out for an extra year, and you don't pay him as much. And even if you don't, even if he stays with what he's got, it's not that big of an impact. I mean, it really isn't. The cap, especially, I mean, we've made fun of them for not spending to the cap here the last couple of years, and this is why. They're going to have money rolled over, and they're going to have plenty of room to do what they need to do and still go out and get somebody without having to worry about Watt's impact. And especially when you start looking at the Lamar Millers of the world and all those guys that are going to be gone, they're going to probably wind up, and I have.
Well, but I mean, what are you planning on doing at running back going forward then?
Well, you're not bringing Lamar Miller back.
No, but I'm just saying, like, you're going to be paying some running back.
Yeah, you're not paying him $5.6 million or whatever it was that they were. I mean, you're not paying Carlos Hyde that.
No, I can't imagine that.
So, yeah, I'm going to find Lamar Miller's number for you. But, he's not on. I can't find him on here because, here we go. Injured reserve. $7.2 million cap hit.
It just seems odd to me that the Texans, who didn't want to pay Jadeveon Clowney, would continue to pay J.J. Watt to play at a level that is clearly not what the value is. You know what I mean?
Well, when he's on the field, he's been worth it, but he's not on the field.
He's played half the games over 4 seasons. That's a pretty big sample size.
Yeah.
You know.
But at this point, it's not like it's not like you need to clear room to pay Jadeveon Clowney.
Nope. Just not.
Let's squeeze in a call real quick. Alfonso, go.
Yes, sir.
Hey, sports.
Sports. Hey, so I wanted to talk about yesterday, KGQP wasn't playing. He's in there holding them off for a trade. And about trade, deadline coming in tomorrow. What are your thoughts about getting the defensive end? Probably Carlos Dunlap, Big Ben's Beasley. You know, somebody to help out on the defensive end, or you think we'll probably sign somebody off of the waivers, so somebody that's not signed in, I'll hang up and listen.
Well, I'll say I don't think Kiki Kuti played yesterday because Kiki Kuti hasn't proven to be very good.
Yeah, I think they're getting
snaps for better guys.
He has zero trade value.
Yeah, I don't, if
you traded him now, you're not going to get the fourth round pick you spent on him.
I don't think so either. So because now you've used up a year and a half of his cheap eligibility. So I think that the reason they didn't play him is because they thought other guys were more deserving of snaps. Dunlap, anybody like that, a defensive end would be nice, a cornerback would be nice. I think the Texans have traded what they're going to trade.
Yeah.
I don't think they don't have any draft capital to trade at this point. They're drained of that. And I don't know that they've got players that they can trade that they can trade away a quality guy and bring back a quality guy, and somehow that makes them better. I don't know what positions they have enough depth at to do that. So I don't know that we're going to see any more trades out of the Texans,
well, and
especially anything big.
And O'Brien addressed that today, and he basically said slim to none, which I think he realizes they don't have any any capital to use, and that's okay. I mean, they spent for what they needed to with their draft picks, but now you're in a position where you had another injury, and you've got to hope that they just got to hope their defensive linemen can step up, and they're not going to replace Watts' production, but they've got some pretty good guys there, and I think the secondary, if they can get Roby healthy. I think with Roby and Conley, if you get Johnson healthy again, I think you've got the makings of a passable secondary. And they need to get Gibson back because they can't cover a tight end without him.
Yeah.
So, but that, I'm thinking in a couple of weeks, if you get that, all that happens, of course, somebody else could easily get hurt. But I don't know about, I just don't know what players you have that you could trade. That would not be a negative. I mean,
right. And you can talk, and I still think any talk about DeAndre Hopkins is pretty absurd. But if the Broncos came in and said, we'll give you Chris Harris and 2 first-round picks and a 2nd-round pick, maybe that makes your team better long term. I guess they could consider it, but it just seems so unlikely.
But why would the Broncos do that when they just traded Emmanuel Sanders away? They seem to be doing things opposite, right?
Yeah. Or the Lions doing something like that with Darius Slay. I don't know. Yeah. I'm just trying to think of even like a reasonable
I want to know
team that could offer something. Because most of the teams that are looking most of those teams are already out of contention. Most of them are selling.
Well, that's the thing. The teams that you're talking about that would, I assume, make the phone call are teams like the Packers. They can't make the kind of. It's the same thing. You can't trade enough value to replace what you're giving up.
And you know who's really stupid right now are the Redskins, because now the Redskins came out today and were like, you know what? Maybe after all, we will trade Trent Williams. Do you know what the Texans would have given up for Trent Williams, a couple months ago?
Probably what they gave up for Tunsil or close.
Yeah. You know what the Texans will give up for him now? Nothing. They don't have anything to give up anymore. You could have had that.
Well, I think the Browns are real interested. I think they'll be able to get Of course, the Browns are kind of dead.
I bet the Patriots get Trent Williams.
I'm just looking at guys on your roster that would have trade value. And there's not a single one that you could say, all right, if we trade this guy,
you'll get something back for him that will make you better.
Yeah, or we will be a better team. Yeah, and the only name on the list that I can come up with is Will Fuller. And who's going to want that guy?
Not while he's hurt. There's no way. You would have had to trade it. If you were going to trade him, you would have needed to trade him when he was at his peak.
But, yeah, I'll never say never anymore in the NFL because those things are, weird stuff happens all the time. But I think any calls about DeAndre Hopkins are silly.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.